So for Parshas Korach, in the aftermath of the entire episode of Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu declares, Lo chamor echad mihem nasasi, which means I never took advantage of my leadership position to take over any of the possessions of Klal Yisrael. I never took one single thing. We'll see later that technically Moshe Rabbeinu could have taken away a chamor because of the special status that he had, and he could have taxed the people, but Moshe Rabbeinu says he never did such a thing. V'lo hariyosi el echad mehem, I did no evil to anyone. That pasuk is strikingly resembles a pasuk in Shmuel. And Shmuel also declares, almost verbatim, mi lakachti, shor mi lakachti, chamor mi lakachti, es mi ashakti. Shmuel also declares and cries out, I never took anything from anybody. Now, what we want to do is, we want to take this discussion about Moshe Rabbeinu's status and that of Shmuel as an introduction, or shall we say a background, to understand the machlokes between Korach and Moshe. And we're going to base ourselves on three paragraphs in the Chasam Sofer's commentary on Parshas Korach, which is called the Toras Moshe, from Rav Moshe Sofer, the Chasam Sofer. And here, the Chasam Sofer presents a fundamental principle, which to my mind, and I don't know if I'm right about this, has never been formulated in the history of all the Mefarshim. The Chasam Sofer didn't live all that long ago, let's say 150 years ago. And yet he came up with an unbelievable chiddush, which I believe has profound implications and will certainly shed a light on all the psukim that we saw and the machlokes between Korach and Moshe. Bless you. And he says the following, Lo matzinu li Yisrael, what we don't find in the community of Israel is melech sheyia gam navi. You cannot be both a king and a prophet. Mishulach la'am. Again, if you're talking about personal nevuah on a private basis, okay, meichetemtzi. But if you're talking about an official nevuah who has been designated as such by the Ribono Shel Olam to transmit the divine message to Klal Yisrael, okay, he's a Navi, and that's wonderful. But he can't be a Melech. If he's a Melech, he's not a Navi. Says the Toras Moshe, there's only one exception to this rule, and we have to understand why. Ki im Moshe Rabbeinu lo v'shalom. Dechsiv Gabe, it says with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayehi Bishurin Melech. Which means that this pasuk at the end of the Torah is an allusion to Moshe Rabbeinu and calls Moshe Rabbeinu a Melech. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu we know is the greatest of all Nevi'im. So in a certain sense, Moshe Rabbeinu personifies a contradiction that would seem to undermine this very fundamental principle which the Chasam Sofer is pushing for, that you're either or, but you can't be both. You're either a Navi or you're a Melech. He says, but let's leave Moshe Rabbeinu on the side for a moment, and let's look at Sharei Nevi'im. What about other Nevi'im? Lo Hayu, I think there's a printing error here, it should say Melachim. They were never kings. And on the other hand, Vamelachim, the kings, Lois Nabu, were never Nevi'im. These two capacities, as a Navi li Yisrael or a Melech bi Yisrael, are mutually exclusive. They don't overlap. You'll ask me a kash about David HaMelech Olav HaShalom. He was a king and yet he was a Navi. Says the Chasam Sofer, don't make any mistake about it, he was not a Navi. Ruach HaKodesh Havilei V'lo Nevuah. Now, when the Chasam Sofer admits that there's one exception to this rule, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu, and he bases himself on the Pasuk Vayehi Bishur and Melech, let's note that that seems to be a Machlokas Mefarshim between Rashi and Ibn Ezra. So we'll get back to the Torah's Moshe in just a second, but just if you can fast forward to number 5, Rashi's commentary on Vizosa Bracha Vayehi Bishur and Melech, Rashi says, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's the Melech. And Ol Malchuso Aleim, it's the Ibn Ezra who says, Melech Hu Moshe. That the word Melech in the Pasuk Vayehi Bishur and Melech is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. But I'll have you know, if you don't know it already, that the Gemara itself says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Melech. I don't need the Ibn Ezra for that. The Gemara in Zvachim says the following: Omar Ula Bikesh Moshe Malchus Velo Nisanolo. Moshe wanted to be a Melech, but he wasn't a Melech. Tichsiv Al Tikrav Halom. In the parsha in the Sneh, it says, "Atigrav halom v'ein halom el malchus." Don't come to take malchus. How do we know that the word halom means malchus from another pasuk in Tanakh? So the Gemara right away jumps on Ula and says, "Masiv Rava." Rava asks him a question. Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Rabbi Shmuel has a whole discussion about Bamem Molach, about Moshe Rabbeinu's malchus. How did Moshe Rabbeinu become a melech, and what was the scope of his malchus? But there's no question that he was a melech. Amar Rava, Rava says that what Ula meant, that Bikesh Moshe Malchus v'lo nesan olo, that's only lo lezaro kamar. Moshe Rabbeinu's malchus was only vis-a-vis he himself, Moshe, but it was not passed on b'Yerusha lezaro. That Moshe Rabbeinu would have liked to have had, but he was denied that. But that Moshe Rabbeinu was a melech is undeniable. The question is, what about Rashi? Rashi says, Vayehi Bishur Melech is a reference to the melech Malchei Amlochim. So if you take a minute to fast forward to number 17, which is on the next page, you'll see a Rashi in Parshas Baaloscha. And it's funny where this Rashi appears, because it's, as we say, it's not often art. In Parshas Baaloscha, the Torah commands us to create two chatzotzros. Now, what was the purpose of these chatzotzros? So there were many different purposes. But Rashi points out on the Pasuk Aseh Lecha Shtei Chatzotzros, which Lecha means Litovascha, Shehiyu Tokim Lefanecha Kimelech. That they will blow these chatzotzos for you, Moshe Rabbeinu, in your presence, as they do for a melech. We know that this is true throughout history of man. When the king comes, they blow the trumpets. Says Rashi, this was the purpose of creating the chatzotzos, so they blow in front of you, Moshe Rabbeinu, because you're a melech. And guess what? Rashi quotes the pasuk by Yibishur and Melech. So it means that Rashi has two different interpretations of Yibishur and Melech. Elu v'elu, they're both correct, and there are two meanings to Vayehi Bishur Melech, but certainly Rashi agrees that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Melech. Getting back to the Chasam Sofer number 3, so there's only one exception to the rule. The rule is you're either a Melech or a Navi, you can't be both. The only exception is Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to rack our brains and figure out how it is that Moshe Rabbeinu could be both a Melech at the same time and Navi. And at this point, the Chasam Sofer quotes a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin, which you'll see in number 8, quotes a Rebbe Vals who says that Mimos Moshe Viad Rebbe Lomatsinu Torah Ugdula B'makom Echad. And what this seems to mean, says the Chasam Sofer, is that there is another exception to the rule. Not only Moshe Rabbeinu, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Because Rabbi Yehuda was a Nasi, and a Nasi has a din of Malchus, and yet Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, was the greatest transmitter of Torah since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's called Torah Ugdula B'makom Echad. which means that Moshe Rabbeinu has Torah, which is Nevuah. Rebbe has Torah, which is a kind of Nevuah, because as the Rambam mentions at the beginning of Yesod HaTorah, in order to reach the level of Nevuah, you have to know the Torah. And yet Gedula, which is Malchus, is B'makom Echad. So Moshe Rabbeinu has this Torah Gedula B'makom Echad. He's both a Navi and a Melech. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi has both Torah Gedula B'makom Echad. And that's the exception to the rule. The Ilu Kol HaNaviim Hayu Aleihem B'Gedula HaShofet V'Melech Shebiyamav. The Gedula never belongs to the Navi. The Gedula, which refers to political control, that's always given to the hands of the Shofet, the Melech, in that time. So the Navi is really secondary, if you will. He has to kowtow to the political control of the Shofet or the Melech of his times. And then the flip side, Kol HaMelachim, even David HaMelech and Shlomo, Lo Hayu Navim. In other words, they were Melachim, and they weren't Nevi'im. So for example, at the time of David, there was a Navi named Gad, there was a Navi named Nasan. And it means that for the Melech, there's got to be a Navi who coexists in that generation. For a Navi, there's got to be a Melech who's going to be the Gedula. And now we have two exceptions. We have Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. They're both Torah Gedula B'makom Echad. But those are the exceptions to the rule. Says the Chasam Sof, you have to understand the rule itself. And then, once you appreciate the rule, now you have to rack your brains and figure out the exception to the rule. And based on this thesis, the Chasam Sofer wants to answer a question in Tanakh. How do we understand two psukim in Tanakh? If you take a look in Shmuel Aleph, we're going to look first in Perek Yud, and then we're going to fast forward to Perek Yud Tes. So Perek Yud is the bottom right, and there's a whole group of Nevi'im in a place called Givasa, and all of a sudden Shaul shows up and he joins the group. Shaul becomes a Navi. And all those who knew Shaul from yesteryear, and they find him sitting with the Nevi'im and he's prophesizing the Nevi'im, their response is a little bit, shall we say, cynical. Vayomer am ish l're'ehu, mazel hoye l'ben Lachish, hagam Shaul b'Nevi'im? Can Shaul also be amongst the Nevi'im? And this, the Tanakh testifies that this became a mashal. You know, when somebody takes upon himself a position of greatness and he doesn't really fit the bill, so you say, Hagam Shaul b'Nevi'im? Ermeid, he thinks he's a greiser knacker? You know, he's Hagam Shaul b'Nevi'im? But yet, let's fast forward to Perek Yutes, and those same three words appear in a totally different context. Meaning, in a totally different, different flavor, instead of being cynical, it says that Shaul HaNavi, together with Shmuel, they got into the garb of Nevi'im. Okay, this is something that we have to understand in a different context, exactly what garb a Navi has to wear or not wear. And it says the Torah, the Tanakh testifies, Vaisnabi Gamhu Lefnei Shmuel. And he, Shaul, joined Shmuel in Nevuah. And this goes on for day and night. Al Kein Yomru Hagam Shaul b'Nevi'im. Here, you read it with a different inflection. Instead of reading it, Hagam Shaul b'Nevi'im, how Shaul thinks he's a big boy, he's amongst the prophets, ha ha ha. Who's he trying to fool? Here, you take it very seriously. Hagam Shaul b'Nevi'im. That Shaul is also amongst the Nevi'im. They were amazed that Shaul is also a Navi. Now, what's going on here? In Perek Yud, they think this is a joke. I mean, what's Shaul doing amongst the Nevi'im? And in Perek Yud Tes, all of a sudden, they realize, hey, Shaul is a Navi. So the Torah's Moshe wants to explain this based on his thesis. And he says the following. When Shaul was running after David in Nevaios in Ramah, and he had a Nevuah, so they said, Hagam Shaul Benevim. Vizeu Tema. I don't understand, says the Torah's Moshe. Why are they saying Hagam Shaul Benevim? They already had mentioned in the past, not that long ago, even before he became a king, when he had a Nevuah, Hagam Shaul Benevim, which became a Mashal, who does he think he is? So what happened on that day when Shaul joined together with Shmuel, and once again they say Hagam Shaul Benevim? And then he says, Aleph Shin, I'm not sure what this Rashi Tevis is, I think it means Osi Shapir, I'm not sure, you'll tell me if you have another pshat. And he says the following, Kodem Shem Malach, before they appreciated who Shaul HaMelech was, he was just a regular rank and file guy. You know, he was a good looking tall guy who was hanging around. He wasn't considered anything of significance amongst the people. And they were amazed. Come on, what are you telling me? He had a low, you know, he was not an esteemed fellow in their eyes. That's as far as Perek Yud is concerned. But Perek Yutes is after became a melech. But Hashta, now he's a melech. Milsach Ritehu. He's a melech? Now they're asking a totally different question. They're not being mezalzel in him. They're not thinking, well, who's he think he is? He's a low person. He's Prisus Beineim. But rather he's a melech. So they're asking a different question. They're asking a Lundisha question. If he's a melech, then how could he be a Navi? Haray, and this is the Chassam Sofer's breakthrough, his principle, Ein Melech Navi. It can't be that a Melech could be a Navi. It's an either-or situation. They're mutually exclusive. Now the original Mashal of Hagam Shaul Benevim, which is a kind of facetious statement, Pasak Mipri Abrios. At one point or another, they stopped using that terminology. Like Shemalach, now they saw that Shaul is a melech, they can no longer junk around about a melech, the Yisrael, and say, Hagam Shaul Benevim, and be mezalzel in him, if they aim us hamalchus. But the Achshav Chazal Eitano, now, at this point, when they see that Shaul HaMelech is a Navi, so originally when he wasn't, I'm sorry. Originally, when he wasn't a melech, in a state of zilzel, they said Hagam Shaul Benevim. Once he became a melech, they no longer use those words Hagam Shaul Benevim. However, later on, at a point in which Shaul is running after David, at that point he has a nevuah together with Shmuel, and it's a very sad nevuah for Shaul. Very bad news for Shaul, that nevuah. And at this point, Hagam Shaul Benevim, that this is not a facetious phrase. Ein litvos al zeh, you know, it's ein litvo al zeh. Don't be surprised about that. But rather, ki ulai lichvodo amru ken al pama sheni shekvar molach. Notice now they're saying, oh, he's a melech, and he's also a navi. They were asking al tzkavod. It's not right that a melech should also be a Navi. We're not going to be mezalzel in his nevuah, but how do we understand this? We have a principle, a rule that knows no exception, namely that a Navi is not a melech, a melech is not a Navi. So how could Shaul be both a melech and a Navi? So now that some so fast address this question, what is the answer to the question I got from Shaul Benevim? If Shaul is a melech, how can he taka be a Navi? The Efshar says the Chassam Sofer, perhaps the solution to this problem is Shalachain Hisnavi Akshav Lahoros Kimina Shamayim Netula Malchus Vimenu V'Royal Nevuah. In other words, this Nevuah was undermining his status as a Navi. Here's when Shaul comes face to face with the cold reality that his Nevuah has been ripped away from him and been given to David HaMelech. When he gets that Nevuah together with Shmuel. So Shmuel invites Shaul to participate in this Nevuah because this Nevuah represents the termination of Malchus. It's almost as if at this moment already, when the Nevuah is given to Shaul, he's no longer a Melech. So he has the ability to function as a Navi because he's no longer going to be a Melech. Maybe he'll be a Melech technically for a little bit of time, but it's not the real Malchus because the Nevuah has it that the Malchus is being taken away from him. So if the Nevuah is really a Nevuah to remove the status of a Melech as a Melech, like in the case of Shaul, when he got a Nevuah that Netula min Hashemayim, Netula Malchuso, then at that point, Enochinami, he could function, he could serve the role as a Navi. But only because the process here is one of removing his status as a Melech. So now, we have to ask the following question. Why is it? How does the Chasam Sofer know that you can't wear two hats, that of a Melech and that of a Navi? That political leadership, if I can use some modern terminology, which is a Melech, or a Shofet, or a Nasi, cannot be reconciled with spiritual greatness and leadership. If you are the Navi that was sent to Klal Yisrael to function as a Navi, then you can't be a political leader. If you're a political leader, you can't be a Navi. You can't be the teacher of Torah and share the word of Hashem. Why? So thank God, I'm very happy that who asked this question? The Chasam Sofer himself. Take a look at number 12. Vatamla said, if you'll ask me how and why did I come up with this principle, She'ein Navi Melech, V'chein behepach, and a Melech can't be a Navi, Mishum she'en shtei hafachim b'nosei echad. One person, to do this, it's a stirim b'nei ubei. Where's the contradiction? I mean, after all, a Melech is there to serve the people, a Navi is there to serve the people. Why can't you function in one great person in both capacities? We're going to see that with regard to Moshe and with regard to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Zelo yitochin. Why not? He says, HaMelech tzorech lahanig atzmo barosh ha'am. The role of a Melech is what we call hitnasut, hisnasus. He's got to be above the people. He's got to rule down the people, down to the people. Ain't all of this, no one above him in terms of political leadership. He doesn't take his mandates from anybody, Ela Hashem Olukav, only from Hashem. And therefore, Melech Shemachal Kvodu Ein Kvodu Machal. This is not a personal issue about his own honor, that he can waive his honor. No. His job is to be a Melech. Som Tasim Olecha Melech. Aval a Navi? Just the opposite. Yofel Olios Rach Kikone. He should be flexible, pliable, and compassionate. Like a reed that's blown in the wind. Ulisnaig B'shiflus. Instead of his nasus, the opposite is true. Pumfaket shiflus, valyideza. That's exactly the way that'll connect to the people. Bimashpia on the people because they love him. And why do they love him? Because he is a shafel. He doesn't lord himself over them. Let the melech lord himself over them, but not the navi. The Gemara says in Brachos, Kol Olam Nizam Bishvil Chanina Bini V'Chanina Bini Dailo B'Kav Charuvim. What does it mean? He has my son Chanina, says Rabbi Dosa, is a shafel. He considers himself Pachus Bienov. He's not going to take anything from anybody. He doesn't want to abscond or become wealthy and gain possessions at the expense of anyone else. On the contrary, for him, a kav charuvim is enough. He wants to give whatever he can to the people, and the whole world is nizon bishvilo. He represents and personifies shiflus and pchisus b'yena, and that's really the essence of a navi. Ein la navi lizgos. He shouldn't be full of himself. And therefore, what is Shmuel HaNavi as the Navi par excellence? He says, Lo, what does he say? Shar mi lakachti, chamar mi lakachti, mi ashakti. Did I lord it over you? Did I take anything from you? The same thing we'll find in Elisha Navi. Both Shmuel and Elisha are very similar in the sense that they go from city to city to judge the people. They don't sit there waiting for the people to come to them. In modern terminology, we'd say they reach out to the people. All this is indicative of the role of a Navi as the opposite of his goes, as shiflus, compassion and love for the people. He's not up there on the high horse. The only dimension of his nasus that is obligatory on a Navi is vis-a-vis Rishayam. Elio is misnasi with Achav, and he's going to insult Achav, he's going to put him down. Elisha with other episodes, Yirmiyahu with Anshei Anosos. There are many different cases where the Navi has to go battle against the evildoers. But Balav Hachi, if we're not talking about evildoers, we're talking about the rank and file Jew. Lo, absolutely not. In fact, the Rambam says in his Shmona Prakim that the only sin of Moshe Rabbeinu was when he, after he hit the stone and the people were complaining, he said, Shimuna Amorim. He accused the Jewish people of being rebellious. And the Rambam says they were not Rishoyim. This was the nation that received the Torah and they saw Rasa Shimcha Aliyah. So the Rambam says that this was the one violation where Moshe Rabbeinu overstepped his bounds. So Moshe Rabbeinu represents the personification of a Navi with shiflus, with compassion, love for his people. And now Rabosai says the Chasam Sof, we're ready to understand the machlokas between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach declares, Kol ha'eda kula kedoshim, u'madua tisnasu ala kal Hashem. I don't understand, Moshe Rabbeinu. Take a pick. Choose your position. Are you a Navi or are you a Melech? If you're a Navi, and they're Yeshafel ad la'aretz, then love it tisnasu al kal Hashem. Why do you make yourself into a melech? How could you lord it over me? I'll tell you what, says Korah. I'll make you a deal. Let's divvy up the leadership roles. You know what? You be a Navi. Of course, Korah doesn't even present his candidacy to be a Navi. And I'll be the melech. But Moshe Rabbeinu, you have no right to take both roles. And at this point, Rabosi, in our discussion, we have to ask Takan the question of all questions. If the Chasam Sofer is right, then you can't be both a Navi and a Melech. So how, Takan, what's the answer to Korach's kasha? Korach is a Chacham, he's a Pikeach, he's a Lamdan. He learned the Chasam Sofer. So he knew that Moshe Rabbeinu, if he's a Navi, he can't be a Melech. And here we have to turn to the next page, number 13. Says the Chasam Sofer, Hatam ha'amiti, but the truth is, Shezacha Moshe Lios Melech Gamkein. How could Moshe Rabbeinu be a Melech? And he's a Navi. And that's a new category, says the Chasam Sofer Mishum Shahaya, Anav Biyoser Midai. What does this mean, Anav Biyoser Midai? Chazal say about Moshe Rabbeinu, Pnei Moshe Rabbeinu ki Pnei Chama. Shaya Meshamesh Yisrael Kechama Ke'emed Lifnei Rabo. Moshe Rabbeinu was totally dedicated to the people. He made himself into an Eved Lifnei Rabo. He was a Shemesh that didn't stop being Meshamesh Klal Yisrael for one moment. The Elo Ye'osa Melucha. He says he is the perfect match for Melucha. Afal Biel asked me, but if David represents the classical personification of a Melech, he too was an Anav. After all, David HaMelech said, Vanochi Tolas Velo Ish. He says, no. You cannot compare the level of Anava in the case of David HaMelech to that of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's Anava is qualitatively different. Vanachnu Ma. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Anav Mikol Adam. And Rebbe, we're going to see the same midah of Anav Mikol Adam and Rebbe, Mishameis, Rebbe, the Gemara says, in Sota Batal Anava. There's no such thing as Anava. But Rabosei, after everything is said and done, are we happy? Do we feel satisfied with the answer to the Chasam Sofer? I'm not on board yet. I'm not a happy camper. You told me that a Melech can't be A Navi can't be a Melech. Great. Moshe Rabbeinu personifies the Navi who cares for Klal Yisrael, the leader who is so compassionate, he's like an Eved Bifnei Rabbo, he serves Klal Yisrael like the Chama serves the globe. Wonderful. But I don't understand. If he's an Anav, how can he be a Melech? If you're telling me, I'm sorry, let's say that again. If he's a Navi, how can he be a Melech? You're telling me that these are two mutually exclusive leadership roles, and a Navi is Mufka from being a Melech. A Melech has to be Misnase al Kola'am. He's got to rule over the people, lord over them. He has to command them, and he has to put them down. So Moshe Rabbeinu is an Anav Mikol Adam. Great. But so therefore that justifies that he's a Melech? So here Abosai, we want to listen to a Hesped. This Hesped was delivered about 40 years ago, maybe a drop more, by Rav Moshe Feinstein. I wasn't there. I was not at the Hesped. I wish I could have been there. Now this Hesped is attached to a Sefer which is called Ohel Moshe, which anthologizes many of the insights of Rav Moshe Feinstein into a parsha in the Torah. If I'm not mistaken, please correct me if I'm wrong, Rav Moshe never wrote and published an official work on the Torah. Does anybody disagree with that? I don't know. That's my sense. All the Torah that we have of Rav Moshe Feinstein on Chumash is just sort of passed on or taken from here or there. Now watch this. We started today our discussion with a pasuk in our parsha, and the pasuk says, let's just read it again, Vayichar l'moshe mi'od, etc., etc., lo chamor echad mehem nasasi. So in this hesped, Rav Moshe asks Akasha, what do you mean lo chamor echad nasasi? Why not? Hello, Melech. Rashoi lahatil masal om kirtzono. I wish I remember the Latin for this. There's a Latin phrase for this, that a king has rights to confiscate property if necessary from the people. And says Rav Feinstein, Moshe Rabbeinu hayelo din shel Melech. So what's going on over here? Why is it lo chamor echad nasasi? Adarav, he should have exercised his rights to take whatever he needs, tax the people for the malchus. Now he has another cash, Rabbi Moshe. Chazal say on the parashin Baloscha say lecha shtei chatzotzos lecha mishalcha, that Moshe Rabbeinu would have to dig into his pocket in order to purchase the chatzotzros. V'tema, says Rav Moshe, I don't understand. Chatzotzros, as Rashi said in Parshas Baloscha, are you talking lefon of kimelech, are you bishur melech, is kavod amalchus. So kavod amalchus, HaKadosh Baruch says, dig into your own pocket to buy the chatzotzros, whose purpose, whose objective is to blow trumpets in front of the king? In Cain, Yoser Hoyim in Aroy would have made a lot more logical sense. Mishum Kvod Malchus, Shiyem Mishal Tzibur. Let's tax the people to buy these expensive chatzotzos. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to dig into his own pocket? Now, to make life even more complicated for ourselves, the Samsofer says that there were many occasions in the history of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, Shemardu Kineged Moshe Rabbeinu, that the people rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu. And as a general rule, we don't find that they were put to death. Frekta Ksam Sofer, Madua Lo Nischayevu Misa, we have a principle called Morid B'Malchus Ischayev Misa. And Moshe Rabbeinu Vayhi Bishur Melech has the status of a Melech. So now, Rabbosu, we have three kashas. Number one, why does Moshe Rabbeinu declare Lo Chamor Echad Mehem Nasasi? After all, he should be taxing the people as a melech. Number two, why Asei Lecham Yishalchach Shtei Chatzotzos? The whole purpose of the Shtei Chatzotzos was covered to Moshe Rabbeinu Token Lefan of Kimelech Rashi. He says, so it would have been more logical that he should have covered Malchus. He should be able to take the moment from the Tzivur and use that for the Chatzotzos. So number three, why does the Chsam Sofer, or shall I say, the Chsam Sofer points out, why is it that there's no Chiyuv Misa on so many cases, so many episodes of the Midbar Midin, Mori B'Malchus, since Moshe Rabbeinu's status was that of a Melech? And here, at this point, the Chsam Sofer introduces a whole new element into the equation. I think we'll appreciate this Chsam Sofer when we get to the punchline of Rav Moshe Feinstein's Hespet. I didn't tell you yet, maybe you know already, who he was maspid, Rav Moshe. Very, very famous Hespit. In any event, Moshe ben Venuso Heshiv, you remember that Eldad and Medad were prophesizing in the camp. Yoshua came and said, Klaim, you know, Adoni Klaim, they should be put to death. How did they have the chutzpah to be misnabe b'masid? And this is, as you'll soon see, if you don't know it already, is compared to Mora Horob if they rabo. And Moshe Rabbeinu's response is, Mi'iten kol ha'om, kol am Hashem nevi'im, ki yitnu Hashem esrucho aleihem. It means the following, Hashem nosan aleihem rucho, mi bilte atzilos haruach shalai. Hashem did not detract in any way. It's like Ne'el Ech and Ne'el Emea, so they could also be Nevi'im. Umi Yitain Via Zeb Chalam. Let every single member of the people of Israel experience prophecy. After all, that's not in any way going to detract from my prophecy. Avol Midivre Rabbo Seinu Nireh Ki Hoya Minog B'Yisrael Shilo Yisnabe Odom Be'asidus. It was accepted practice on the part of the people of Israel that even if they would experience some nevuah that would prophesize foretell the future, they would not do so. They would not publicize their nevuah or their act of nevuah b'makom navi gadol mimenu, in the presence of someone who's greater. But rather, there's something called Bnei HaNeviim, and the Bnei HaNeviim would not be misnavi in the presence of the Rebbe. And therefore, Yoshua says, Adoni Moshe Klaim, after all, this is the case of Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabba. Okay, they can have Nevuah, but they don't have a right to violate the self-accepted covenant for the Navi, the Adon HaNeviim, that we're not misnavi B'mokom HaRebbe, B'mokom HaMoshe Rabbeinu. So what's the answer to this? Moshe Omar, Moshe's response is the following. Harav shemochal kvodo, kvodo mochal. I'm craving, I'm excited, I'm happy about the fact that these Nevi'im can be misnabe. I am misnabe in my presence, you're telling me Yoshua, kla'em, because it's mora aloch v'nei rabo, is harav shemochal kvodo, kvodo mochal. But I don't get it, Rabosai. Because I'm so fair, spent so much time establishing, and we saw so many rayos, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a status of what? A melech, and melech shemochal kvodo ein kvodo mochal. And here, in the parash of Eldad Umeidad, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu is being mochal on his covet. And moreover, we found that the entire relationship between Moshe over and over again and the people of Israel, with one exception, when he oversteps his bounds and the Rambam gives it to him over the head, is one of shiflus and anava. What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu as a melech? And the answer, I believe, is in the Hespit of Rav Moshe Feinstein for none other than Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, Zichrono Livracha. Says Rav Moshe, Hevdel Gadol Yeshno Bein Moshe L'Shar HaMelachim. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu is a melech, but there's something fundamentally different, essentially different about his status as a melech and that of other melachim. Malchuso Shel Moshe Lo nova mikoach minui. Every melech Again, you have to know the dinim of Yerusha, but basically, even the son of the Melech, his royal kach, has a minui. Every Melech requires a minui. The only exception to this rule of a Melech who had a status of a Melech without a minui is Moshe Rabbeinu. How did Moshe Rabbeinu then become a Melech? Al yidei koach haTorah shebo. His leadership role as a king was a natural overflow or an effect, how do you say in English, a totza'ah, of his koach haTorah. Kevin shekach. Therefore, if the source and the root of his status as a melech is Torah, is his leadership role, not in a political sense, but in a spiritual leadership role, is lo yochel lehenos mishel acherim, he should not enjoy benefits from others, because we have a lach with regard to Torah. Al tas also karnom lachbar bo. Don't enjoy financial benefits from your status in Torah. So again, with regard to every other melech, there's halacha of minui, and therefore the melech is a full-fledged melech, and the melech is allowed to, maybe even in certain cases, obligated to have a tovas hanom and a tzibur, and to gather together the monies of the tzibur and tax the tzibur. That's classical malchus. But in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not talking about classical malchus. Moshe Rabbeinu's status as a melech is a reality that emanated from his status as the leader in Torah, the transmitter of Torah, the teacher of Torah, the guide to the spiritual guide, and in Mela he was elevated to the level of a leader. And if you take a look at the top of your left column, Rav Moshe says the following. Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky, he was the Gadol Hador. Did anybody appoint him as such? He says his Torah made him into the Gadol Hador. All his leadership and anyone who was seeking out the guidance and the ruling in his life would turn to Rabbi Yechezkel. And it didn't matter whether he was the Rav, the official appointed Rav of the greatest city, the biggest city, or the smallest city. Rabbi Yechezkel and his leadership role, his godlus, was not dependent on the fact that he was appointed as the Rav of Slutsk, which was perhaps the most outstanding Rabbanus in all of Lita, and he was the Rav of that city. Even before he was the Rav in Slutsk, he served as the Rav in a small town called Savolovitz, and even then he was the Gadol Hador. After he left Slutsk, he came to London, and he wasn't even a Rav in London. He was the Dayan, he was the Gravid of the Beis Din of London. He gets to Eretz Yisrael, he settles in a neighborhood not far from here called Beit Vagan. He wasn't in Rabbanus at all, and he was still the same Rabbi Yechezkel LeGadol Hador. Why is it? Everybody turned to him for leadership, for guidance, for verdicts. Ki rak haTorah shalomad v'limed hi shechriz Allah barash v'chutzos hi hamalucha yoser gedola sheyesh. The greatest malucha is my malchi rabbanon, is those who are dedicated to Torah study. If you take a look at the Mishnah, the sixth parak of Avos, Shono Chacham Lashon Mishnah, Reb Meir Omekol Osek Gitaro Lishma Zoch L'Dvarim Harbe. And what are the things on the list? No Senes Lo Malchus, that the Torah gives him Malchus. He has the status of a Melech. Isdach Memele Rabosai. As a general rule, but in this case of Moshe Rabbeinu, his malchus was the result of his Torah. He is the Torah teacher of all of Klal Yisrael. He's the Rabban Shel Yisrael. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu has the right to guide his people and be manig his people with the mid of Anova, with the compassion of a Navi, of an Ish Torah, of a Torah leadership, and all his koach as a melech emanates from the fact that he has koach haTorah. In such a case, Such a malchus lends itself to mechila. And the Meshech Chachman Parshas Yisro mentions a machlokas of a farshim. You remember that great party at the beginning of Yisro, where Yisro's sitting around and having a whole ganza banquet. And the question is, Chazal say in one opinion, Rabbi Gamliel, I believe, that Moshe Haya Omed Masharis Lifneim. Moshe was the actual butler, you know, the waiter who served the whole entourage there. And Rabbi Gamliel is based on the fact that Nasi Shemachal Kvodu Kvodu Machu. Okay, maybe a Nasi, but Moshe Rabbeinu is a Melech. Frekta Meshech Chachma Meir Simcha. How could Moshe Rabbeinu possibly be Mochel on his Kavod if he's a Melech? Vayhi Bishrut Melech Zeh Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Meshech Chachma comes up with a vitz. He says that the Parsha of Yisro took place before Matan Torah. And when it says, Vayhi Bishrut Melech, it says, Bis'asei Froshayam. At what point did Moshe Rabbeinu emerge as the Melech? Only after Matan Torah. But Yisro came before Matan Torah. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was not a Melech, and he could be Mochel on his Kovod. Yeah, but what do you do with the other Tanoim? They hold that Yisro came after Matan Torah. So you can have to say, they never accepted Rabbi Yishmael, whose opinion it was that Moshe Rabbeinu was Omed and Mishars Lefneim, because if Moshe Rabbeinu at that point of this banquet of Yisro had the status of a Melech, then he can't be Mochel as Kovod, he can't be Omed and Mishamish Lefneim. The answer to the Rebbeinu Simcha is no. Everybody could agree, even if I assume that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Melech, he could be Mochel on his Kovod. All of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, from beginning of his career to the end, is all one gigantic mechila al kvodo. He's the anav mikol adam. He serves the people as an eved serves his rebbe. He's the sun that gives light and benefit to everyone. Aye, melech? The answer is a different malchus. As Rav Moshe Feinstein says, this malchus is mikoach haTorah. And if the malchus comes mikoach haTorah, then the fundamental relationship between Moshe and the people as a leader is that of a rebbe to a talmid. And the Melo, we can swing back to the Parsha of Korach and begin perhaps to put a new spin on what the Chasam Sofer says is the true response to Korach's Taina. How could Moshe Rabbeinu be both a Navi and a Melech at the same time? Says Korach, you, Moshe, you be the Navi. That's good enough. You, I don't mind. You can be the Navi. I'll take the Malchus, says Korach. But the answer is that Korach missed the point. Nobody had to appoint Moshe Rabbeinu as the political leadership as a Melech. His leadership and his role as a Melech was a given. The people accepted him as the Melech. Why? Because he was the Nosei Natorah. His Malchus was Mikoach HaTorah. And that's what perhaps the Chasam Sofer means by saying that he's an Anav Mikol Adam. Anav Mikol Adam means Moshe Rabbeinu could have taken that appointment, again not an official appointment as a minui, but the fact that Klal Yisrael accepted him, and Moshe Rabbeinu at that point could have taken upon himself the role of a melech as if there were an official minui with all the dinu of Malchus, a full-fledged melech, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do so because Moshe Rabbeinu was an anav mikol adam. Moshe Rabbeinu sees his essence and his role as the leader who worships the people, who serves the people, who's compassionate and loves the people. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu refuses to take the official role of melech. He's got the unofficial role of melech. The role of melech that comes to someone who has koach haTorah. It's the, in the words of Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's the melucha yoser gedola, the greatest melucha that there is. And therefore, there's no stira in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu to be both a Navi and a Melech, because it's a different kind of malchus. And that's the phrase Torah ugdula b'makom echad with regard to Rebbe. Rebbe's malchus is a result of his Torah. And that's Torah gedula b'makom. The gedula here, he doesn't have to kowtow to anyone. He could be a Melech. Why? Because of Torah. The koach haTorah gives him the greatest melucha that there is. And here we have two individuals, shining lights in Jewish history, who have Torah gedula b'makom echad. It's Moshe Rabbeinu and it's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Both of them have malchus and nevuah together. But these are the exceptions to the rule. If you take a look, number 24 on your second page, the last statement of Rabbi Yossi in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Yimamad Chavercha Chaviv Alecha Mishalcha. Okay, fine, I have to respect your mama. I can understand that. That's a great moral, ethical principle in Yadus. But then he says, V'haskin atzmecha lilmod Torah. What is the connection here between lilmod Torah and mamon chavercha lecha kishalcha? And the answer is that if you're a melech, then I don't have to, as a king, I don't have to respect your possessions the way I respect mine. On the contrary, I could tax you, I could abscond with your possessions, I could take it away. But when it comes to Torah, if Torah is the source of your malchus, then when it comes to Torah, maybe even greater than kishalcha, and here are both sides. I know it's getting late, so anybody who has to go, Joe is not here today, I don't know why, but you know, at this point, what?
He had to pick up his son. Yoram came home.
Oh, from home from Israel.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But anyway,
I have to go, but I just wanted to add a diuk.
Yeah.
When it says "Asay Lecha" by the Chatzlitz race,
right,
it says "Shiyutek Lefanecha Kimelech." In other words, it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu actually was that kind of a king,
right?
But he was like a king. In other words, a different kind of king.
So the Tzvei Dinim and Melech. There's a Melech with Minui, and there's a Melech because of his personality as a Torah leader.
And he gets that from the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a Shenema, Vayhi Bishurim Melech, which Rashi said before was really a HaKadosh Baruch
Hu.
That kind of Melucha, you get from the Torah.
And here you don't abscond with people's money, and you can't tax them. You can, technically, but rather it's Mishalcha. Excellent. Okay, Bobby, you have to go. Anyone who could stay for another few minutes, on the second page that I gave you, and again, I want to thank Rav Daniel Gladstein. He has together here three different insights in Parshas Korach from the Sam Sofer. And I'd like to focus on the third for a moment. We know that Yaakov Avinu's name is not mentioned here in the lineage of Korach. It says Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohath, Ben Levi. So it only goes three generations, not back to the fourth generation, which is Moshe, the father of Levi. So the Chasam Sofer has a very fascinating insight. This comes under Hafokhba Vafokhba Dekulokhba. And it's called Sofei Tevos. Now, Sofei Tevos means that you could scramble them. You know what I mean? It's like they have now a kind of a scrabble where you put all the letters into some sort of a container and then you spill them out. So that's how Sofei Tevos works. So it's not Kisidra. So if you take the Sofei Tevos of Yitzhar, Kohath, and Levi, what you end up with is a Reish, a Yud in the case of Levi, and a Tuf in the case of Kohath. So again, if I'm juggling it around a little bit, we start with the Reish of Yitzhar, and then let's skip over to the Yud of Levi, and then to the Tuf of Kohath. Now, if you add Yaakov into the equation, then the last letter in Yaakov is Beis. If you put that Beis at the beginning here, then you end up with the word Bris. Says the Chasam Sofer, Chas v'sholom, as we enter into the parasha of the machlokas of Korach, shenichros bris l'machlokas, the concept of the bris, which is like an ultimate commitment, that makes sense for peace, but not for war. There's no such thing in the Torah as a covenant for war, for machlokas. And if you look in the next piece, he expands a little bit, he says, ki im, where do we find a bris, like in the parasha of Pinchas, brisi sholom. But if the name Yaakov would have appeared in this parasha, then it would have been a bris. Now, if you take this piece in the Chasam Sofer and you attach it to another piece, which unfortunately I wasn't able to send you, but I'll just tell it over to you very quickly. You know, they say about the Balatanya that as a child, he was a genius. He was a child prodigy. Again, in a sense, his opponent was the Vilna Gaon, who was also a child prodigy. But they tell the following the following story about the Baal HaTanya. And this is recorded in a sefer called Iturei Torah, which is sort of one of those modern sefarim where they anthologize a lot of Divrei Torah. So here, he says the following. They were testing this little child, Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi, and they said to him, is there a pasuk in the Torah which starts and ends with the same words? And immediately, without hesitating, he answers the following. B'makom shemoshe lo amar emes. In the place where Moshe Rabbeinu did not say truth. Hishtomimu. How could this young child, who's the future God of Israel, say, you'll find the answer to your question in a place where Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say truth. So immediately he explains himself. In Parshas Tzitzis, at the end of Shlach, the pasuk starts, Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher tzisicha oschem mi'eretz Mitzrayim, and then it ends with the words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It's the one pasuk in the Torah that starts with the first three words and ends with the same three words. But then it says emes, doesn't it? No. Moshe Rabbeinu lo amar emes. Who said emes? The Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos it was Yirmiyah HaNavi who added the word emes. That's why we say emes in Kriyat Shema. But Moshe Rabbeinu left out emes. And therefore this pasuk begins with the same three words, it ends with the same three words. This is a little child, they don't tell you how old he was. But why does Moshe Rabbeinu avoid the word emes? If Yirmiyah is comfortable with the emes, why is Moshe Rabbeinu uncomfortable with the word emes? So I thought the answer lies in the Chasam Sofer about Yaakov's name, why Yaakov's name is deleted. The Gemara says in Brachos that you're allowed to be mafsik between one pasuk and another under certain conditions, but you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of a pasuk. So the Gemara says, Bein Hashem Elokeichem le'emes, emes v'yatziv, lo yafsik. So Rabbi Avo says, why? L'fi she'nemar v'yirmiyo anovi v'Hashem Elokeichem emes. So since emes is in the middle of a pasuk, so therefore you're not allowed to be mafsik. Ulechayra, this doesn't make any sense. This is not a hefsek in the middle of a pasuk. He's going to be mafsik between Hashem Elokeichem and emes, and we're talking about Kriyat Shema. In Kriyat Shema, there's no word emes in the pasuk, right? We read the parsha of Tzitzis, which is part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim, the third parsha of Kriyat Shema, which was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says Ani Hashem Elokeichem. He doesn't mention the word emes. See, you found a pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi that has the word emes. Therefore, it's b'emtzah pasuk. So why can't you be mafsik? Why is it an emtzah pasuk? In this pasuk itself that you're quoting from the Torah, you're reading it from the Torah, it's not b'emtzah pasuk. Between emes and v'yatziv, between, excuse me, Elokeichem and emes, is going from the end of a pasuk to the tefillah of emes v'yatziv. So in this sefer, Iturei Torah, at the end of Parashas Shlach, he quotes an insight from Rav Mordechai Yehoshua Leib Zaksh. This Rav Zaksh lived here in Shari Chesed. I remember him. And he was the one who published, if you ever saw, there's an edition of the Rambam from Moser Rav Kook. It's called Rambam La'am. Have you ever seen it? It's like a beige and brown on the cover. Anyway, so this Rav Zaksh says the following. That basically, Moshe Rabbeinu also wanted to say emes at the end of the pasuk. Just like Yirmiyah said it. El Shenishmita. But rather he omitted the word emes, Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it should have been there. Why? Because the very next word after Ani Hashem Elokeichem at the end of Shlach is Vayikach Korach. As the Targum says, it's Palig Korach. Korach divides. He rises up with a controversy against Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, if the word Emes would have been there, then the Emes would have attached itself to Vayikach Korach. And we have a principle of Mutal Shanos Mitnei Darkei Shalom, that for Shalom we leave out Emes. And therefore, we don't want to propagate, we don't want to give an extra push to the Machlokas of Korach and add the word Emes. On the contrary, we will violate the truth for the sake of peace in order to avoid Machlokas. Is Memela Rabos, if you put that together with the Chasam Sofer, that Yaakov Avinu's name wouldn't appear because Sofei Tevis would be the base of Bris, we don't want a Bris on Machlokas, we don't want the word Emes on the Machlokas, on the contrary, we want to violate the Emes for the sake of peace in order to avoid Machlokas, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu dropped the word Emes, but in truth, Moshe Rabbeinu himself wanted to use the word Emes like Yirmiyah. He couldn't do it here at this juncture because of Korach. And therefore, when it comes to tzitzis, when it comes to the parish of Kriyat Shema, the din of Ani Hashem Elokeichem is the din of Emtza Pasuk, because the word Emes, which comes afterwards, is really tak in the Pasuk. Kaviyochol. It's not in the Pasuk, but it's almost like it's in the Pasuk, because Moshe Rabbeinu, if not for the fact that his hands were tied, he would have added the word Emes. Okay, Rabbosai.